All right. This is Kevin Simpson of KDSO Global and the Association of International Educators and Leaders of Color. And we are excited this evening and this morning to be joined by Carla Fraser. She is an expat, and her life as an expatriate began 12 years ago. She has now merged her interest and passion with being an adventurer around the world with international affairs. She served in higher education, as well as in the corporate conference planning world. Just one thing about Carla is that she is a TCK, also known as a third culture kid. She's lived in 6 countries, including the US. She's traveled many and plenty of places. She's lived somewhere where I've lived, and I'm like, I'm surprised our paths did not cross. And maybe they did at some point, I'm trying to figure it out, in the United Arab Emirates. She's also did some work in Australia and in addition to other places. We're going to learn more about Carla and her story. Very excited to have her joining us. So welcome, Carla.
Great. Thank you, Kevin. Glad to be here. Glad to share.
Definitely. So I think the first thing that sort of jumped out was that TCK world, that third culture kid. So tell us just a little bit about, you know, being a third culture kid and just your experiences and just early memories.
And it's interesting because I really didn't realize I was a TCK until probably my early 30s. Really understanding the terminology and realize that this is who I was. I was born in the U.S. and went and lived in Jamaica for 10 years. And grew up there, went to, you know, elementary, i.e. primary school for most people, and did all of that foundational developmental school years there, living with my grandparents and other family, and traveling back and forth to the United States at an early age. I was 6 when I got on my first plane as an unaccompanied minor. Okay. And so when I got into my adulthood and I started to do international affairs, actually it was in my 20s when I was working on my degree, I started to learn about, TCK, what does it really mean? And I was like, that's really me. And I don't think that folks really understand that. It's not just the fact that your parents were diplomats and move around the world, or your parents worked for a multinational company and was reassigned for a short period of time around the world. It is the fact that you lived and worked, you maybe as a child relocated to somewhere else and you're living in that different environment. You have 2 cultures. I have 2 cultures. And I realized that I go between the two, and there are things that are distinctively Jamaican and Jamaican culture about how I do things in life. Mm-hmm. And then there are things that are distinctly more US centric. And so I started to read some of the literature and understand who I was. And now I'm actually getting into that space. So the Pollocks, who really wrote the literature about TCK, they created what's called Family and Global Transition. It's an association, it's a group, it's a conference. And I literally just got into that sphere via the contact of another colleague in the field. So I'm actually going to the FITG conference in Bangkok this year. I'm presenting. I am a Pollock scholar. And so it's going to be interesting to be in this TCK world, because the majority of folks in that space are TCK. They manage TCK challenges, issues. And so it'll be interesting. There's, you know, now there's the terminology adult TCK, so which is a whole different sphere where, you know, you're literally doing this an adult and becoming that.
Yeah. I like to hear that too. I call myself a TCA, so now I know it's an adult TC.
Yes, it's ATCK, adult TCK, yes.
Okay, good. Make sure I have that lingo correct. No, that's fascinating and interesting. I think I like when you said being able to go sort of between you know, those different cultures and spaces, and being early on, like you said, as early as six, where you're on, you know, being able to fly accordingly. So speaking of which, I know before we started recording, you said you are now in Bangladesh. And I know you have, so I know you have traveled lots of places, over 45, I'm sure even over that to date. Now, yeah, Bangladesh, like you said, this is your first time there. So you've traveled places and you've lived places. So I know some of the places that you lived have been the United Arab Emirates, Afghanistan, Dominica, and Singapore. As a TCK, and just as an adult, getting ready. So when you're getting ready, so Bangladesh is the new place where you're at right now. How do you prepare yourself when you're, you know, getting ready to be, whether it's for work or, you know, short term or long term in a place? How do you get prepared for that?
I will say that I was never prepared for the UAE. That was my first opportunity to live and work outside the United States. And I've always wanted to do that. And that opportunity came and I took it. And I did the typical things. I did all the research about the UAE and asked a lot of questions. I think when I accepted the job, and after that, the person who was going to be my supervisor, who hired me, who is also from the U.S., I sent her what was the equivalent of 2 8.5 by 11 pages of questions. Mm-hmm. And she goes, this is the most questions. She goes, this is a thorough and extensive. I was like, I need to know what I'm coming into. You know, she was great. And she is literally, she's still my mentor. She's still my reference. I see her at least once a year at the annual conference. We sit down and have a good time over dinner. That's how I do that. So I ask lots of questions. I do my homework, you know, so I go anything from National Geographic to, you know, to blogs, to expat forums. I jump into spaces like Inner Nations. Yeah. So I hit the gamut from the more well-written travel, you know, explanations of a country to the more casual, someone who's living there, writing, in some cases venting, about what's happening.
Yeah.
And then make my own deductions. I think I'll say that I think the more that I move to countries, I think the less I'm doing that. I will honestly say I did not do that much of that for Bangladesh. I probably should and should have. And, you know, it's day three here. And I mean, work's been great. You know, today will be my third day at work when I, you know, head to work this morning. But, I knew very little about Bangladesh and still do, and I'm okay with that. I think I'm finally at the place where I'm okay with that. People ask me all the time, have you visited all the countries you've lived in? No, I've never visited a country that I've taken a job in. And so I go in blind, not knowing what the space, the place is. I couldn't have visited Afghanistan before I got there. So that was not visited. The UAE, I guess I could have, if I had pushed the issue and asked for a visit, they would have done it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. I went in on faith and, you know, knowing that this is for me and I'm going to go and make the best of it. Yeah. So that's kind of how I prep.
Okay. And I know asking that question, there's so many different ways that people do it. I like how yours, like you said, you ask lots of questions. So, you know, very inquisitive.
I do.
Doing the research and reading and, you know, checking out as much as possible. I know what you mean. So it's like you can do that and still there's going to be something, you know, that comes up that you didn't
know. There always is.
Exactly.
There always is.
Exactly. So the places that you have lived, UAE, Afghanistan, Dominica, and Singapore, where did you sort of spend most of your time?
So the longest place I've lived was recently Singapore.
Okay.
So that's a couple months short of 4 years. Okay. Literally 2 months short of 4 years.
Okay. Perfect. And so did you find, out of all, when you think of all those different places you've lived, did you, you know, commonalities, obviously every place is so distinct, but are there certain things that you look for even either before or in the research or in conversations that you have when coming up and making that decision to say, yeah, this is a likable fit for me?
It's about, mine is actually work-based.
Okay.
So the where professionally I have chosen to live in the countries and do the work I do in higher ed is because the institution I'm going to is something that the country wants, needs, their higher education wants, needs. They're creating something different for their young people. Mm-hmm. They're in a different sphere.
Yeah.
So the UAE, I worked at the National University, and they were going through a transformation of their student affairs program.
Okay.
In Afghanistan, the institution was the only co-ed, it was US-funded institution. They were really trying to put roots into young people who wanted education to help rebuild the country. An American style education. And it was it was still in startup stage. So still had the opportunity to do a lot of foundation in the university. Okay. In Dominica, that was a bit different. I worked for an offshore medical school.
Okay.
And the what struck me there was the fact that these were individuals who were passionate about medicine but could not get into your traditional U.S. medical school, or actually in some cases chose to come to Dominica for medical school.
Yeah.
But it was great to see folks who had been nurses, paramedics, who says, no, I want to now be a doctor. I want to step that game up.
Yeah.
And so creating a different level of education for folks who wanted it later in life in some cases.
Yeah.
Singapore was, it's the first and only liberal arts institution in the country. Mm-hmm. If you know anything about Singapore, their education system is literally modeled after the British system all the way through tertiary. Mm-hmm. And so to do a 4-year residential liberal arts experience is a unknown concept in the country. And so I went there to in the inception years of the mm-hmm. college to help create that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And now here in Bangladesh, this is an established institution, but they are literally, I'll use the words of our vice chancellor. He goes, we're creating 2.0.
Okay.
Moving the institution to the next level. And in this case, it will be student affairs, campus life that we're moving to the next level. So he goes, this is 2.0. I was like, okay.
All right. Speaking of Dominica, let me see. Was it Ross?
Yes.
Okay. I figured when you were describing it, So speaking of paths crossing over, UAE and Dominica, I worked with their prep school. Help them get prepared and looking doing the behind the scenes on the accreditation a few years ago. So I was there, I want to say 2011, maybe 2011, 2013. You know, I worked with the
high
school back then, you know.
So you had just left when I got there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
I got there in 2013.
Okay. Wow. Pretty cool. And see, that's the thing about this, you know, the crossing over, because I was like, wait, UAE, Dominica, Singapore. I'm like, and I've been to Singapore. I've never been to Afghanistan, but the other places either lived or did work there. So yeah, I thought that'd be fascinating.
Okay, yeah.
So speaking about higher ed and jumping right into the work you do now at Rose Apple Global LLC, tell us a little bit about the company, areas of focus, and sort of the impetus behind sort of getting started.
Okay. So after living and working abroad, my first stint in the UAE, and how unprepared, quote unquote, I felt, despite the fact I felt like I did so much research. This idea was coined in my head of, I need to help other people be more prepared. Mm. Except that I was like, I've only done this for 2 years. What's my credibility level? And so the idea went and sat on the shelf. And then summer 2019, I decided to leave Singapore and left my position. But prior to that, in December 2018, I went to a women's leadership conference. And in the field, NASPA, the Association for Higher Ed, does all these conferences and institutes. So I went to the Women's Leadership Institute, and a young lady came up to me and said, hey, I wanted to live and work abroad. I saw that you are doing that. And I was only one of three women out of 300 in the room that were part of that were international at this institute. Mm-hmm. And so she came and picked my brain and she goes, can you help me do this? Wow. And that was, I'm like, yes, I can. And that's a service I provide you. And literally between having spoken to her at the Institute, I came back in, you know, January 2nd, 2019, did all the legal paperwork for this to start, picked a name and the fat name, and have been primarily focus on what I call expat career, expat coaching and guidance. So that's been the majority of my clientele. So what I really spend time doing for folks is if they're interested in moving and working abroad, primary focus is higher ed, but I will work with anyone. So what I say is I spend time with you looking, starting at ground zero. Maybe that's not a good phrase to use. Starting in the beginning. Yeah. And so we talk passion, we talk purpose, we talk values, because for me, it is important that your passion, your values, and your purpose line up with you moving abroad. Then we talk geography, because those then go together, because it's not good that you wanna go to maybe the Middle East, but your philosophy doesn't fit that. Mm-hmm. So I really have people think about those kinds of questions, you know, have them start to really reflect on what are their personal values, what are their core values, and how is that going to impact their move abroad. And then we talk geography, we talk about locations, we talk about limitations in locations, like one of my clients, we talked about, they wanted to go to the UK. And I said, do you understand what's going on in the UK now and how that may impact your opportunity to move to the UK? Then we get into the look, I'm like, okay, let's get to the hard work, which is digging and taking apart your resume, your cover letter, and talking about those pieces, looking at your LinkedIn profile. We need to make sure that when you're applying for things, people see that you want to be international. It's yes, your experience has all been in the US, but there's language, there's ways you can explain things that people will see that you're ready to move out. And making sure those things are reflected, taking out the US jargon, switching some of the language, making sure that, you know, some of all those acronyms we use are spelled out so people understand, things of that nature. And so then we go from all your credentials being done, and we spend time talking about the search process. We talk about interview processes. I talk about folks, US, Canada, parts of Europe. There are questions that are highly illegal or unethical in interview processes. I said, some of those things are irrelevant in other countries. And the one that I always say people is that they'll ask you if you're married or if you have children or your family. And they're like, well, they don't need to know that. I'm like, yes, they do if they're providing you housing. or they need to help you find housing, because they need to know what kind of space that they need to be planning for if they hire you. They're not trying to really figure out if you're married. They're really trying to figure out your housing opportunities and what they need to do.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, I said, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not about, you know, discrimination. It's about accommodation. And so then we, you know, we wrap that up with making sure folks are ready for their, you know, understand the interview process and head them off to do their job search. I provide them tools along the way. So there's worksheets, reflection sheets, there's resource tools that are handed out along the process. And so that's what I do. And then there's a couple add-on things I do. So once a person gets a job offer, they can then come back to me and say, this is my offer. How do I negotiate this? What are questions I need to be thinking about in regard to this offer? Here's what's in it. Is this fair? And I can help them create specific questions around the offer, but then some general questions. And then the last piece is if, as they start to think about relocation, I can then help them talk about that, things they need to be thinking about for relocation. And then the big piece in that is, have you planned for your cultural adjustment and do you have coping skills in place?
Wow.
And they'll be like, oh.
I was just going to get on the airplane and land there.
Which is what most people do. And I'm like, no. We need to talk about how are you going to adjust in that first week, in that first month, in that first year? What are your coping skills? Because we talked about, and you know, back in values and purpose, how are you going to handle the fact that it's Thanksgiving and you can't go home?
Right.
And that could be Canadian or U.S. Thanksgiving. You know, there's no going home. Or what are you going to do when you get that phone call that your sister's pregnant and she's due and you're not going home to see that brand new baby until maybe 6 months after?
Yeah.
So, you know, I really kind of spent, you know, kind of a reality shock for some people, but then people are like, this makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, how are you going to deal with the fact that you're in a country where you don't speak language and you probably can't learn the language? Mandarin's a hard language to learn. So is you know,
Arabic.
I only know a handful of words for Arabic till this day.
Right. Oh my goodness.
Right. Inshallah. You know, I know the basic greetings, they, right. You know, but some of those languages are not easy to learn.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You want to go to Vietnam and teach? You going to learn Vietnamese?
Right.
That's going to be a little challenging. I mean, and it's not doable. Mm-hmm. You have to set realistic expectations. And so, you know, that's really, I started the core working with clients. Now I have, so I focus primarily on higher ed and higher ed clients because that's my area of expertise in my field. What I will say to folks who are not in higher ed is I can give you the basics.
Right.
So it's not for me to tell you how to do your job search in accounting or engineering. That part I cannot do, but I can get you all the other pieces about your core, your values, talk about geography, the resume piece and cover letter piece. There are things I can give you in the sense of basic guidance, but I can't tell you the core of your field when it comes to your resume, whereas in higher ed, I can. We can still do interviews. We can still do some of the basic things for a non-higher ed person.
Yeah, but that cultural adjustment piece is major because
I've actually created webinars for that to address some of that.
Okay.
For folks who want to, you know, do a webinar with me, we will literally go through some of that.
Yeah. Because I can honestly say the places I've moved, that's never been there, ever. That's never been a part. It's never been a component. You know, I would do research, you know, ask questions, but was there ever a time where it was like, and here is that period and things, not once. And I'm sitting there thinking, I've never had that. How many other folks?
I've never had it either.
Yeah.
And I really learned about it when I started to go through it, and then I started to do research on it.
Yeah.
And so when I 2018 at the NASPA conference, I decided to share my experience of living and working abroad in higher ed. And so when I started to do the conceptual foundation for my presentation and looking at theories that may be applicable and the W curve and the ABC model of culture shock and stuff like that, made a lot of difference, and I understood some of the things that I had gone through. And now I've turned that into creating a segment that I will do for folks in that sphere, because, and you can do everything else on your own, and you can literally just say, Carla, I just want to talk to you about your culture shock, you know, seminar or workshop, or I can do it as a group session, and you know, if you're a family or something like that, because I think it's so important that you do that. Because I walk folks through two models. I walk folks through the W model and talk about that, or the ABC model of culture shock and talk about that, and talk about how are you going to adjust, what are your tools, and things of that nature. And you know, you need to build a toolkit for coping skills. So one of the things I started this summer after leaving Singapore and really working on Rosapa Global full time was I started to write articles and blogs and start to share things out. And one of the ones I just recently did was on building resilience.
Yeah.
So doing a quick thing on resilience. So an infographic and asking some very intentional questions. And it was interesting because shared it out, and one of my former colleagues who also worked in the UAE read it, and she wrote back and commented, and she goes, I never really thought about what I was doing and experiencing as resilience and the coping skills and strategies that I was building as part of resilience. She goes, but that now makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. So I, you know, I'm trying to write and do what I call the more advice piece, and then do the fun stories as well.
Yeah. So what's upcoming in terms of writing? Give this piece on resilience. What's on your sort of like content or some of the different stories that are up and coming over this year you're thinking about writing?
So actually coming out in February, given some of the things that are happening around the world, I literally just woke up to an earthquake in Jamaica. So I'm like, what? Oh my gosh. And it was huge. It's a huge earthquake. So the next article that's coming out in February is actually about when crisis happens abroad. Are you prepared?
Yeah, that's powerful. Yeah. Because I know there's been a few, I forgot.
There's a few. There's some been volcanoes. Yeah. There's the coronavirus. There's there's been several earthquakes. Yeah. And so literally I've categorized the article to say natural disasters, political unrest, medical emergencies. So there's four broad categories with examples. Okay. And then talking about what are you doing? You know, are you prepared for these things? And then at the end, I say, here are 10 tips that I know about that I've done that you should be thinking about you know, when you're abroad, and I'll just drop one of them right now. Make sure that your passport stays valid in at least 6 months. And make sure that in that passport, you have some ready cash. And so then there's 9 more of those that really get people thinking about how you should make sure that if you're living in a country that has potential, be ready to go, be ready to manage whatever may happen.
Yeah.
And some countries you don't expect anything, but something can just happen.
Right.
No one expected what was going on in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
But it did.
Yeah.
No one expected the volcano in New Zealand.
Yeah.
But it did.
Yeah.
And so these tips are not just for expats, but it's for travelers in general.
Yeah.
So yeah, other things I'm thinking about are talking about what I call the unspoken things of expat life. I think many people do the glamour shots and talk about all the pros. I'm going to put a little bit of balance out there and talk about the challenges. So this month's article is about being a solo expat and kind of the loneliness and how you challenge that. I'm going to tackle at some point microaggressions. I'm going to tackle what else is on my horizon. I think a piece on cultural dating. I don't have many topics planned yet. I've gotten a bit of writing done. So I'm talking to, there are two articles that are come out about lessons I've learned of becoming a entrepreneur for 7 months full time before moving here 3 days ago. And what that was like. And one article is actually called Country Hopping, because that's literally what I was doing. I was hopping between countries for visa reasons and just settling in and writing and working with my clients and, you know, what that was like and things of that nature. And the jokes that I got traveling with two suitcases. Do you have, you know, how much gold are you taking out of the country? I was like, no, this is all suitcases. This is clothes and shoes. You know, everyone's like, your taxi drivers, everyone's like, your suitcases are so heavy, man. I'm like, this is my entire life.
Right.
Until I get to my next location. So, yeah.
Wow.
So the other piece with Rosapa Global, so we do individual expat coaches. That's one-on-one sessions tailored for you. We do the group coaching. So if you have a group of friends or if you're, you know, family members, want to create a group and do that. And then I am in the space of creating some e-courses, because I know not everyone wants to talk and not everyone wants to be in a group.
Right.
So I'm trying to build some self-paced e-courses for folks. And those take a little bit longer time because they, you know, it takes some time to build them, record them, and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So there's one or two out there right now and more to come. And then webinars, which are basically on demand. So if you want a particular webinar on something, then I will work to create that specifically for you, for your group, for your organization. So, yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, because I think definitely there are a lot, you know, we get folks who want to go overseas, you know, they're US-based or anywhere really in that whole, that piece that you talked to about that cultural adjustment is major, as well as just having and being knowledgeable of resources, you know, having a coach. Because I feel like at times people want that, they need that. You know, I remember when I first went to Vientiane Lao and the head of school paired me with someone else who had been there for about 2 or 3 years. And it was great because I got a chance to Skype with Bruce and talk with him. And he was like, anytime. And I was like, and like you said, I had that litany of questions, you know, so that list of questions. And we, you know, and we worked through that, you know, and they had their FAQs. It was like, here are Kevin's questions. So having someone one-on-one to, you know, really prep. And then seeing what sort of what's the agenda, what's the itinerary before I even leave. So I think on that end, they did a good job. But like you said, that cultural adjustment, just thinking through those different scenarios, because I just reflect back on, we had some colleagues that didn't make it, you know, they didn't make it 3-6 months. And it was, there was some of things that happened. And that's, you know, they just ended up departing, you know, early.
Right. Yeah. And I think for me, I've also seen some of our younger folks. I love the fact that our younger folks are wanting to go out, but they come out and they're like, oh, they're gung-ho and they're excited. And then they run into, your level of excitement and enthusiasm is great, but you gotta figure out what the cultural context is. Mm-hmm. You can't bulldoze your way. And right. I love our millennials. I love the fact that they have all this energy and want to change the world. Mm-hmm. However, the world doesn't change as quickly as they want.
Right.
And yes, you got to keep at your message. I'm not discouraging you from keeping at your message, but you also have to learn that there's a pace in which you can do things.
Yeah.
And some things will go quicker than others.
Yep.
There are things that you'll suggest and people will be like, let's do it. And they're like, people will be like, let's think about that. Mm-hmm. And let's think about that really means no, if you're in the Arabic culture. But they really, you know, it's like, did you understand the cultural context of that really meant no?
Right.
But in your mind, you thought it meant, let's think about it. So in 3 months, you came back to it and the person's like, why are you coming back to this?
Right. Oh my goodness.
Or understand that they're just things that are not talked about.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do, you're not going to change the culture about LGBT++ in some places of the world, in some contexts. That they're not ready for that. They're not there yet. And it's okay. You have to be okay with the fact that they're okay. And you cannot be disparaging about it. What you can do is find people who are willing to listen and learn, and you change one mind at a time.
Yep.
So you can't change the room of 20, but you can possibly change one or get one person to be aware in that room of 20.
Yep. Yeah. That awareness. Wow. Wow. So where do you see Rose Apple Global in 5 years?
Ooh. I think what I would really like to do is I like the one-on-one working with my clients, so I don't think I ever want to give that up.
Yeah.
I think I would like to have other expats who are interested in this kind of work join the team so that there becomes a broader depth of knowledge and countries and regions. Mm-hmm. I think I also want to start to explore eventually the other side of Rose Apple Global, which is helping institutions abroad. So whether you are a US-based institution or you're a national institution that want to have a student-centered focus in your student-facing units, and I'm being very specific. So it's your student-facing units, though, student engagement, student affairs, student services, those units that are working up front, one-on-one, face-to-face with students, and seeking to improve those operations, streamline those operations, understand, train your staff to become more student-centered, student-focused. So kind of doing some consulting around those aspects. That's the other thing that I'd love to get into. So I'm hoping in the next 5 years, once we've gained a bit more traction and a little bit more known, that I'll be able to do some consulting opportunities.
Excellent. And so now, how long will you be in Bangladesh?
I have a 4-year contract.
Okay. Okay.
So it will be interesting because our vice chancellor is relatively new, and he goes, we have 4 years to put this school on the map.
Yep.
And get it established at 2.0. They got established at 1.0. So now we need to take it to 2.0 and put them on the map a bit more. And so, and then they're growing and there's lots to be done. We're getting a new campus that's being built.
Wow.
The student body is growing. We're trying to figure out how do we best do student experience. So yesterday on day two, the VC is like, okay, here's the pitch to you of what I need. Go forth. I was like, okay. So he did. He ran down the list and said, here's where I see this. Here's where I want this to be. And I was like, okay. So we are 3 people deep right now after a massive reshuffle and change in here. And so anyone listening to this that is interested in Bangladesh, there are opportunities out on the website. Go apply. Matter of fact, there's 4 director positions that got posted yesterday. Director of Admissions, Director of Advancement, Director for Student Experience, and Alumni Relations, and then the Director for Career Services and Corporate Relations. So they're nice senior level positions. I will say, if anyone's interested, Bangladesh is unique, but they also take care of you. They've been taking care of me since I've gotten here, and you know, it's day 3, but they're conscientious of bringing in international talent and expertise and trying to make that work for us.
Perfect, perfect. And if they're looking to do a K-12 school, let us know.
Sure.
Don't put that out there.
Back. Yeah, so I know that the institution's actually trying to work with K-12 schools to just create and build in that bridge that doesn't exist as well now. So yes.
Yeah, and I saw that a lot in a lot of the different spaces. It was like universities over here, everybody else over here. And it really wasn't that like connection and link going on, you know, conversation.
No, and they have realized it here. And so that's one of the things that we're going to figure out how we make that bridge because it becomes the feeder.
Right. Exactly. Yep. So it would make sense that, you know, having those conversations and having that, doing that college and university culture up early on and making them aware. You know?
Right.
Yep.
Yes.
That makes sense. That makes sense. All right. So what would you be, I definitely have to ask, what are you reading? I'm very curious about what are you reading?
Ooh. I've not picked up a book recently. Mm-hmm. I do have a couple books on my list once I kind of get settled in. So I'm going to pick up a book on my mom sent this one to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I'm going to cheat. See if I can find it. So the essence around the book that my mom sent me was you have to it's about changing your life at your own pace.
Okay.
And so when I told her I was leaving my job and, you know, going to do the entrepreneur thing for a moment, I really expected her to freak out. And she didn't. She goes, no, sometimes you got to make the drastic change to make it happen. And then she sent me a book that said, hey, you know, this fits in that context. And just because I've been traveling, I'm a hard copy book reader.
Okay.
I still haven't gotten to that Kindle phone thing with my books.
Yeah.
And so because I've been traveling, I was like, I can't put any extra weight in my suitcases. So I hadn't ordered any books yet. One book, it's another book that I was talking to someone. It's really about rapid growth and, you know, this concept of blitz scaling and change. And so those are the two things I'm going to order and look up once I get settled in.
Okay.
Not if any of my future staff's listening to this, I highly doubt it, but we're going to read Who Moved My Cheese.
Okay. Yeah. It's a good one. It's always a good one to reread, too.
Simple read about change management. And So I know that I need to figure out and get that ordered. And my team is going to have a little team development around we're moving into significant change. And how are you part of this?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to happen to you. You can actually be part of it.
Exactly. Perfect. And finally, I want to close with Carla. Where can people find out more about you, about Rose Apple Global LLC? So any email?
You can. Sure. So I'm on LinkedIn as well as Rose Apple Global's on LinkedIn. So you can find me there. There's our website, www.roseappleglobal.com. Email us at hello@roseappleglobal.com. You'll find me in other spaces on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and even on Pinterest. So there's articles out there. There's I do expat quotes, and they're actually Carla quotes that are from me about expat life. So they're called expat expressions. And so check out the expat expressions that I put out there to get people thinking about the fact that expat life is more than just living and working abroad.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, thank you, Carla, for sharing your story. We're very excited to, you know, spend some time, and we know the time zones, and, you know, you're in a new position. But we definitely will share. If you're, are you on our Facebook group?
Yes, perfect. I am.
Yeah, because we definitely want to share those opportunities that are there at the university, because we have a range of
people. Sure, yes. They came out yesterday, so perfect. I'm actually going to be dropping them in a couple different spaces, maybe this afternoon when I have a moment to sit in the office and not in meetings.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm trying to recruit some colleagues.
Yeah, perfect. I hear you. So thank you again for joining us, and we wish you well in Bangladesh, and definitely stay in touch with us, you know, and give us updates on how everything's going.
Sure. And in the spirit of, So you lost me simply because the power just went down.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I know how that look. I know how that I did Nigeria, Lebanon, a few places where lights go off, lights come back on, Wi-Fi off, Wi-Fi on.
But, yes.
Oh my.
Okay.
But yeah, there's one of those expat expressions that you want to share before we go out, because I want to check that out too.
Good question.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. One of my favorites is, I don't have them all memorized. As an expat expert, your job is to combine new concepts and cultural contexts for your host country.
Okay. Wow. And with that, we will leave. That's plenty to chew on and to ponder and think about. All right. Well, thanks, Carla. Be safe. Enjoy. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you,
Thanks
too.
For having me.
Definitely.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay.